WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Dr. Marissa Weiss is a physician based in Philadelphia specializing in breast cancer treatment. She's found that even after women finish treatment, they often continue to feel distressed and have a difficult time resuming what they think of as normal life. In response, 7 years ago, Dr. Weiss started an educational organization called Living Beyond Breast Cancer to help survivors and their families. The group runs conferences, publishes newsletters, has a survivor's telephone helpline, and runs an internet site. Dr. Weiss is also the author of the book, Living Beyond Breast Cancer. Laura Landreth says in her book about surviving cancer and informing yourself to help yourself survive, that it's difficult sometimes to realize that you're no longer sick and it's time to return to life. It's time to, like, return to the rest of the world, to re-enter the world. Right. I'm wondering if you find that's true with a lot of your patients, that when they're through with the therapy and when they have recovered from it, that it's almost difficult to resume with life.
Yes, I think that's certainly true. It's very interesting because when I see people finish their treatment, I see that they expect the big party, that they'll be thrilled, they'll be excited, and then they're bewildered by this mix of emotions. It's not that straightforward. All of a sudden, everyone expects them to be normal. They want themselves to be normal more than anyone else, and yet they don't feel normal. They may have lost their hair, they may have gained weight through treatment, lost a breast or had their breast altered. They haven't been working full-time for a while, or maybe they have but not been feeling well. They may not be sleeping properly. They may have been hurled into the menopause. Their relationship with the people in their life may have changed. And all of a sudden, they have to get back into the normal swing of things. And also, they don't know if they can look to the future. Is there a future for me? It seems presumptive to think that they can make a vacation plan a year from now. And they worry about that. And so, but over time, people sort of feel a bit more like themselves. They get some of their energy back. They start looking more like themselves.
Okay, you say people start to feel more like themselves. I hear from a lot of people that you, in a way, feel transformed. You feel like you're not the person who you were before the cancer. Do you hear that a lot?
Yes, that breast cancer is a second chance at living. It's a wake-up call. Unfortunately, women may have several wake-up calls at one time. It may be the breast cancer. It may be a loss of a job. It may be that a spouse leaves them or something else about their life is disturbed. And many women respond to that in a positive way. They say, you know, I have another shot at it. I'm going to spend the time with the people that I care about. I'm going to change my job to something that is much more rewarding. I'm going to spend more time with my kids. I'm going to travel more. I'm going to do good things. But it's also true that some women respond differently. Some women avoid new challenges, are fearful, are paralyzed by the fear. A woman I took care of who had breast cancer told me that when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, it was like a whale moved into her living room. There was this overwhelming fear. There was no safe place. Her own living room was a scary place to live. And she kept bumping into this whale, this fear of her breast cancer. And over time, that patient and I worked on this together, and I tried to help her shrink that whale, make it smaller, make it to the size of a magazine rack so she wouldn't have to walk through her living room and see it. And there are various ways we did that.
How did you do that?
Well, I asked her about her fears and asked her to express her fears. She was convinced she was going to die. And then actually, she had a good prognosis, breast cancer. And the chances were that she was going to live long and live well. And she hadn't even asked the question about that. She was too scared to ask me what her prognosis was. So that was an important way we were able to deal with her fear. I see her on a more frequent basis and follow up than I do other people because she finds it reassuring to see me. I send her copies of the letters that I send to other doctors so she has a file of her medical records at home. She knows she can call me. I tell her I'm there for her. She was also part of a support group, and she had a network of other breast cancer survivors that she could call and reach out to.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Marissa Weiss. She's the author of the new book, Living Beyond Breast Cancer, and the founder of a support network, which has the same title. Your educational group is called Living Beyond Breast Cancer. Do you have a website?
Yes. You can access that by www.lbbc.org, and also you can call our telephone number, which is 610-668-1320, to join our free mailing list and get our quarterly educational newsletters, as well as new updates that we send out throughout the year.
You point out in your book that often when your past therapy for breast cancer, you have to relearn how to live your life now that all the treatments are over and you can kind of pick up the pieces again. And sometimes your family or your friends can be really anxious to just put the disease away, put it behind you, but you might not be ready to completely put it behind you. You still have worries and concerns. You suggest this is a very good time for a support group. If everybody around you wants to get back to their real life and you still have worries and concerns and thoughts that you need to share, consider a support group.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very normal to have, it's very normal for you to have persistent concerns. Once you've had breast cancer, it never leaves your life. You're always going to be worried about it. And when I ask my patients, what helps them shrink the whale? What helps them reduce their fear of breast cancer? Many of them say, my support group. I get on the telephone with my best friend, or I get on the telephone with women in my support group, and I reach out to them, and they help me in a way that no one else can help me.
Give me some examples from your patients of how support groups are very helpful either during or after cancer treatment.
I think when you're diagnosed with breast cancer, you can feel that you're the only one to be worrying about dying. Every time you look at your child and every time you think about the future, you get scared. Every time you have back pain, you're worried about metastases. And you don't want to burden your family every time something like that happens. You don't want to tell them what you're worried about. Otherwise, they may suffer unnecessarily. They may be worried. You don't want to steal away the pleasure of living from everyone in the family. But a support group is often a place to go where you can safely talk about these issues and get support from them and insights from them that you couldn't get from anybody else. I think that when we think about breast cancer, in the very beginning, women worry that getting diagnosed with breast cancer is like a death sentence. That the first thing that they think about is dying of breast cancer, that breast cancer is going to steal years of their life, that they won't live as long. But over time, as you go on with your life and you keep living, you also can find that breast cancer can steal away the pleasures of living while you are living. It can take away from the quality of your life. And one of the things that you need to do as you rebuild your life is to recapture some of the pleasures of living, like the intimacy in your life and your sexuality and the ability to think about the future, to have fun and make jokes and go out and live life with carefree moments. And so I think that part of living beyond breast cancer is learning how to live again and to try to resist breast cancer, not just in terms of living as long a life as possible, but also living as well as you can live.
If you're looking for a support group, do you think it's important to find the right support group, a group of people who you can relate to and feel comfortable with?
Absolutely. It's very important to go to the right support group. In my hospital, the support group is put together by a facilitator who interviews everyone ahead of time and makes sure that everyone in the support group is likely to be able to get along, that it's not too big a group, that everyone gets a chance to express themselves. It's usually good if women in the support group have a relatively similar type of breast cancer. Because if you have someone who's had bone marrow transplantation for metastatic breast cancer and she's in the same group as someone who had a very, very early type of breast cancer, then when they leave the group, they may be confused by the other person's situation. They may be comparing notes. Oh, my God, she didn't have chemotherapy. Maybe I should have, what happened to her is going to happen to me. It takes expertise to run a support group and to have the support group be therapeutic.
My guest is Dr. Marissa Weiss, founder of the educational organization Living Beyond Breast Cancer and author of a book by the same name. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Dr. Marissa Weiss, founder of the organization Living Beyond Breast Cancer. How often do you deal with people who've had the actual test for the breast cancer gene and can say definitively that they have the gene?
I'm involved in the Family Risk Assessment Program at Fox Chase, and we do genetic testing of women who are at high risk or who believe that they're at high risk for developing breast cancer. I also I'm from a family that has a significant risk of breast and ovarian cancer. I'm very involved in that process. It is a process. It starts with education, teaching women what is breast cancer, who is affected by breast cancer, what is their actual risk of having breast cancer. We go over their family history and write it down on a piece of paper and look at it and see, Are you from a family that looks like there's an inherited form of breast cancer here? Or are you from a family where there is not such a pattern present? Then we talk a lot about whether or not they should go ahead with a blood test that looks to see if they, in fact, have a genetic abnormality that's been identified to date. And then what we do is we talk to them about how they may handle the results of the genetic test. And then at the next session, we actually give them the results of the genetic test. And all along the way, we're providing support and information. It's really a complicated process, and it's also very fascinating because within a generation, one generation, women can have a very different approach. For example, you know, one family, one sister will say, you know, I want this information tomorrow. Another sister will say, I don't want to even know about it. Another sister will say, you know, I want to know absolutely everything about my situation because if I find out that I have the gene abnormality, I'm going to have my breast removed, my ovaries removed, and everything else. Whereas another sister from the same family may say, I will take care of myself. I will use alternative therapies. I'll make sure I see my doctor and I reduce the stress in my life and I eat well and I stop smoking and do my exercise and I'll handle it that way.
What are you likely to recommend to a woman who finds that she does have the gene for breast cancer?
If a woman is coming from a family where there is a breast cancer gene abnormality, what we do is we look at how that particular family is affected by breast cancer. For example, in some families, breast cancer may be very virulent. It may affect women at a young age. It may affect both breasts. It may take their life away at a young age. Whereas in other families that have a breast cancer gene abnormality, women are living till, you know, into their 60s, their 70s, their 80s. They had breast cancer, yes, but they're not dying of their disease. And so we try to get the big picture. And we also look at the woman's life and say, you know, what are you doing already to stay well? How much is this fear of breast cancer affecting your life? What is your style of making decisions? Do you like to be aggressive? Do you like to be more laid back? Do you want to do everything today that may reduce your chance of seeing breast cancer tomorrow? Or do you feel that you're more confident and comfortable with natural forms of treatment and close surveillance and with the idea that if breast cancer is discovered, we'll try to find it as early as possible and give you the best treatment as possible so that you get beyond it? For example, a woman who is more comfortable with the watch and wait approach may decide to take tamoxifen as a way to reduce her risk, whereas a woman who feels very aggressively about her treatment may decide to have prophylactic mastectomies. Both choices are correct. It really, you have just have to match the treatments with a particular person who's sitting in front of you.
There was a new study recently published,
yes,
saying that having preemptive mastectomies can be effective in preventing breast cancer. I imagine a lot of women are calling now and asking you about that. What suggestions do you have for a woman who might be considering preemptive mastectomies to avoid breast cancer?
Prophylactic mastectomies, the removal of the breast in order to prevent breast cancer from ever forming, is a very reasonable option for women who are really at high risk for developing breast cancer. It does not eliminate the risk of developing breast cancer, but it does substantially reduce it. It can reduce the risk by about 90% in women at high risk. So for a woman who presents with a concern about her breast cancer risk, first we have to figure out, is she at high risk or not? Or is it just a perceived high risk? Because to do prophylactic mastectomies in someone who really is not at high risk is wrong, I think. But if someone really is at high risk and wants to do everything she can today to never see breast cancer, to try to avoid the chance that breast cancer would ever be diagnosed, let's say she also has a breast cancer gene abnormality, then yes, I do think that prophylactic mastectomies represents a very reasonable treatment.
A lot of your patients have had breast cancer, they're in the clear, and they're worried about a recurrence. What are the things a woman can do to prevent a recurrence of breast cancer?
To prevent breast cancer recurrence, or at least reduce her chance of ever having it, tamoxifen is a very useful treatment in women who have a tumor that's hormone receptor positive. Eating well is important, which means a low-fat diet, the right fats in your diet, avoiding fried foods, avoiding excess dairy products as a way to get protein, avoiding alcohol use, stopping smoking, exercising about 3 hours a week, reaching out and getting support, reducing the stress in your life. And those lifestyle choices, those therapeutic interventions also improve your health in general, not just your risk of breast cancer.
There's a history of breast cancer in your family, and you are around people with breast cancer all the time because that's the people who you treat. Has that made you more worried about the possibility of getting breast cancer yourself?
I am constantly surrounded by women who have been affected by breast cancer, either directly or indirectly, or were really worried about breast cancer, not just through my medical practice, but also through writing the book and doing national speaking and working with television and radio and in every which way. So I am surrounded by it, and sometimes I'm more worried about it than someone else who is not as steeped in it. And every once in a while, I have to take a break from it and say, you know what, time out. I have to separate myself a little bit from this whole disease because it's just getting to me. And it may be that I take a time out because I'm very upset about everyone, about the women who I've taken care of, that maybe someone I was very attached to died, or we did everything we could, but it wasn't enough. Or that she's doing okay, but the family's having a hard time, and I get very involved with that, and it pulls me down every once in a while. So I do need to take a step back intermittently just to pull my energy together, get centered, and move on, because I know that as hard as my work is, it's also very rewarding and it's very important. And I feel privileged and lucky to have that opportunity to help so many women in a significant way.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, really.
Dr. Marissa Weiss is the founder of Living Beyond Breast Cancer. Their website address is www.lbbc.org. Our cancer series concludes tomorrow. I'm Terry Gross.